Ladies and gentlemen, can I begin by welcoming you all here this morning and thank you very much for giving up your valuable time to be with us. I want to begin by thanking Deirdre and Colin for this excellent and groundbreaking report. There must be a joke somewhere about what happens when you bring a businessman, an academic and a politician together. And at times it's been a bit like a sketch, but I think it's fair to say that we've developed a tremendous mutual respect, which will stand the test of time. I also want to thank panel members for their expertise and support, and the civil society and statutory organisations who, often against the odds, are doing innovative work in the most disadvantaged communities. Their willingness to show the Commission access to their work and frankness about successes and challenges are the main reasons this report has been able to address, frankly, the biggest of all issues. I want to thank Deloitte, especially Glenn Roberts, for their support, and Fergal McNamee for his professionalism and commitment beyond the call of duty in supporting the work of the Commission. And of course, I want to thank, last but not least, my team, Heather and Jess, who interacted with Colin and Deirdre in the Commission, and without that relationship, we probably wouldn't be here today. I'd like to say I'm delighted that Mike Nesbitt and other politicians on this incredibly difficult day, politicians from all parties, have made the effort to be here. I think that shows a tremendous commitment to the work that Colin and Deirdre have done. Friends, the uniqueness of this report is it deals with Northern Ireland's most difficult challenges, intergenerational deprivation and worklessness, issues which should be a top priority in any society, but especially one emerging from conflict, where a combination of low expectations and low aspirations remains the breeding ground for paramilitaries and political extremists. Deirdre, Colin and the panel members have come up with a vision and solutions which can be the template for any Westminster government of any political persuasion and Northern Ireland political parties of goodwill. I'm proud we commissioned it, but as of today, it belongs to all policymakers, politicians and sectors that have a stake in Northern Ireland's future. Even in these difficult times, the report offers a financially credible framework. Very important. This can be and must be afforded. Shifting resources from funding the costs of failure, worklessness, welfare dependency and low skills to building economic and social progress by supporting people to fulfil their potential through investment in the early years, education reform and higher skilled, better paid jobs. Any government, indeed any business or any household, has to make difficult choices with finite resources. It's a question of choosing the right priorities, which in this context have to be a comprehensive early years and childcare strategy and a world-class mental health system that recognises the intergenerational trauma, which is an enduring legacy of the Troubles. But there are also changes that can be made which will have minimal cost and simply require political will and political leadership. This report is groundbreaking because it recognises progress and seeks to build on success, but it also recommends tangible changes which would make a transformational difference. It provides overwhelming evidence that business as usual will not deliver the step change which is necessary. It's very important. Commissions like this are accused of being talking shops. Today I want to stress what Colin and Deirdre did in their presentation. I want to list just some of the proposed transformational tangible changes. Firstly, a shared ambitious 2050 vision for prosperity and social justice in Northern Ireland. At its heart, a commitment that no one should be left behind. If you have no vision and you have no underpinning values, you do not have an optimum future. Absolutely vital. The refocusing of the economic pact between the Westminster Government and Northern Ireland Executive so inward investment is used to specifically tackle worklessness and economic inactivity. Yes, the Commission recommends rightly the devolution of corporation tax, but it's crucial if and when that happens that any reduction supports the increase to employment and enhances the skills base in Northern Ireland. A city deal for Derry and Londonderry, for Derry Londonderry, which will tackle regional inequality, a regional inequality which holds back Northern Ireland's overall progress. And I would stress to you today, city deals don't just have to be in Derry, Londonderry. There may well be city deals in Belfast and other cities in Northern Ireland that would be relevant. A new leadership academy for public, private and civil society sectors. What the Commission is saying here is leadership is across all sectors. The best businesses, the best public services, the best voluntary sector organisations, indeed the best political parties, need the best leadership. And the notion of creating an academy which brings all of those sectors together to support existing leaders and grow the leaders of the future is very exciting. The report also recommends 3-year funding agreements for civil society organisations which are delivering positive outcomes. You all know the problems with not knowing budgets and funding from one year to the next, not having stability and not having certainty. The Commission is not saying that all voluntary organisations in all circumstances should have 3-year funding agreements. But what they are saying is where those organisations are delivering and achieving change, they deserve at the very least the stability of 3-year funding arrangements. The report also says the early years must be prioritised, with Sure Start available in every community. And why this is important is it recognises parents and families are the key to many of these issues, not simply the state. And the report also recognised personalised targeted support to tackle issues of the most challenging families in every community. What you will find is that every community knows the families that have the most challenges and present the most difficulties. And yet there are a myriad of agencies and bureaucracies trying to involve themselves in those families' lives and, frankly, cumulatively, never making the difference that is necessary. So having a highly personalised, focused approach on those families with pooled budgets and lead workers who have accountability and responsibility, that would make a tremendous difference. Colin and Deirdre has already spoken about every school being a good school, with a focus on school leadership, the proposed introduction of a graduate scheme to support quality teaching in the most disadvantaged communities, and something that I don't think was said, making the schools inspectorate in Northern Ireland independent. In my view, it should not be part of the Department for Education. I think this is another very radical recommendation that Colin and Deirdre have made. And can I say this? Colin, I think, and Deirdre were people who instinctively were not ideologically opposed to the 11-plus system. But they have found, I think Colin would say this, the consequences for so many children of being written off in some cases at the age of 11 is an issue that Northern Ireland cannot afford to ignore. Now, I'm not here, again, to make my party political statements or ideological views. You know where the Labour Party stands on these issues. It's a matter that has to be dealt with in Northern Ireland. But these were two people who I suspect were very big fans of what they thought was educational excellence in Northern Ireland. But when they actually dug deep, they found that the system leads to lots of difficulties. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you need to overhaul totally the system, but it does mean that you need to reflect on the fact if too many young people are being written off, is that good for Northern Ireland society? Indeed, is it good for Northern Ireland's economy? I think another vitally important report from the Commission is a new high-quality integrated 14 to 19 education system which maintains academic excellence but gives equal status to vocational education. And what that will need in every community is schools, colleges, universities and employers to come together with a plan. You cannot provide a high-quality integrated 14 to 19 education institution by institution. You have to have a coordinated approach at a local level. I think it's very exciting the Commission's recommended that every school should be supported to have meaningful links with employers. And perhaps the most important challenge of all from the Commission about schools is closing the attainment gap between the lowest and highest achieving students with measurable targets. Very, very important. And finally, and this has come through time and time again, Deirdre mentioned it, a world-class universal mental health service. This is the only area in this report where the Commission calls for additional funding from the Westminster Government, ring-fenced and hypothecated funding from the Westminster Government. I want to make it very clear today, I fully support that recommendation. In terms of the legacy issues, Northern Ireland cannot be expected in the real world to provide a world-class universal mental health system without some specific additional money to make that happen. So I think this is an area where the Westminster Government should look at making additional resources available. Friends, I now want to turn to wider issues. And I know that these wider issues will be of concern to each and every person here today and many people across Northern Ireland. It would be crass for me to come here today and not talk about the context, which is the political crisis that we now face. I've been Shadow Secretary of State now for approximately 2 years. In this period, I've grown to love Northern Ireland and care about its future as much as my own constituency. And that says a lot, considering the fact I was born, raised and have lived all of my life in my own constituency. I remain immensely proud of my party's legacy here and humbled by the courage and vision of Northern Ireland's politicians and ordinary citizens who made peace possible and have moved this society forward in a way which was once unimaginable. Many of your leading politicians, those here today and those not here today, are individually people of high calibre who seek to do the right thing. Much has been achieved in a society which, it has to be remembered, is still emerging from conflict. And one of the things I've learnt is, don't use the term post-conflict society. It's not accurate. Post-conflict society implies all the issues have been dealt with and things have moved on. This is a society which is still emerging from conflict. However, despite all of the things I've just said, and because of my party's legacy, I believe we have a particular duty to show responsibility and to speak the truth. I acknowledge aspects of the peace process were imperfect, but that's inevitable when trying to reconcile the irreconcilable. And I challenge anyone to suggest bringing an end to the violence was not worth the painful compromises and imperfect solutions. However, after the initial hope and a promising period of power sharing, we have to acknowledge that in recent years, things have gone badly wrong. We need to say that, and we need to say it very explicitly. A culture of crisis leading to a cycle of despair has become ingrained. A political class who collectively and sometimes inadvertently all too often elevate disagreement and complexity to the status of crisis. And this in turn drowns out any sense of hope and fuels the cynicism that either causes citizens to hang on to the life jackets of sectarianism or to confine their grievances to the dinner parties of the leafy suburbs and to shun the ballot box. During the summer, I read a thought-provoking book by Lord Jonathan Sacks, the former chief rabbi, on the identity challenges presented for the United Kingdom by a diverse society with many cultures and value sets. And at this point, I must stress, he's neither a Protestant nor a Catholic Jew. In the book he wrote, and I recommend people read this book, In the Home We Build Together, it's the title of the book, The Home We Build Together, Lord Sacks attempts to define a new approach replacing both assimilation, which seeks to make everybody the same, and multiculturalism, which reinforces difference and can fuel separation. I believe there are three elements of this approach which could help to put Northern Ireland back on track. Firstly, the concept of common good, where people from different cultures and faiths make a commitment to work together in the interests of the greater good, uninhibited by one's own identity, individual preferences, or political prejudices. Secondly, and crucially, a social covenant, which is different to a social contract, because it's not about the relationship between the state and the citizen, but it's about the relationship between people and the groups that they establish through shared interests underpinned by shared values. Thirdly, people working together, and I want you to think about this, I think Colin referred to this, people working together to build change, not by engaging face to face, but working together side by side. There's a big difference between thinking about things in terms of working face to face than in terms of building a new future side by side. Well, of course, today, at this crucial moment, I call on Northern Ireland's politicians to make the necessary compromises and to find a way forward. Indeed, it feels as though I've been making this call every week since I assumed this role. I often think to myself, how can we find different words for the same press release that we have to issue almost on a monthly basis? But today I'm not going to focus solely on the political crisis. I want to issue a different challenge to the businesses, the civil society organisations, the trade unions, the churches, the grassroots community leaders and individual citizens of Northern Ireland. It's time for you to come together, to sit side by side, not face to face, and build a new movement for change. To build that vision of a common good through a new social covenant which delivers change, demands a new kind of politics, but also, and this is crucial, creates the space for those politicians, irrespective of party, who are ready to provide bold and visionary leadership. It's not for political parties to agree on the establishment of such a forum. I hear people say we need to wait, we need legislation, we need agreement. It is not for the politicians to agree to the establishment of such a forum. Create your own. Don't wait for permission. But make sure it's neither a talking shop or a vehicle for a narrow wish list, whether from a nationalist or loyalist, left or right perspective. From the beginning, it must ensure, through its membership, its leadership, its actions and its objectives, it's different and it's determined not to become the latest symbol of cynicism, division and inertia. For it's not only the politicians who sometimes struggle to put the common good before narrow interests. Business bodies and civil society organisations must also reflect on their responsibility to do things differently. So whether it's the common good or a shared future, please use today as a catalyst for a new beginning. Do not moan and complain and shout at the politicians. Use today as a catalyst for a new beginning. Come together to campaign for the implementation of Colin and Deirdre's excellent recommendations, which would help to build a fairer and more prosperous Northern Ireland. Do not leave this report gathering dust on the shelf. Come together to fight for the implementation in terms of the Northern Ireland Executive and the Westminster Government of the recommendations in this report. But today I also urge you to do something else. Come together to develop a new social covenant which recognises that political institutions and politicians alone cannot build the better future that Northern Ireland deserves. Successive agreements which establish and strengthen peace were negotiated by politicians and civil servants sitting face to face. The next era of transformational economic and social change needs people and groups sat side by side in a new public movement for change committed to the common good. Only then can we be confident that Northern Ireland will not only talk about yearning for a shared future, but its people will truly experience a better future. Thank you very much.
Take that message with you today. And once again, thanks for your time.